I'm sitting in Fargo, North Dakota tonight, Saturday night, November the 19th. Snow's coming down pretty good. It is very, very cold outside. And of course, I can't be in weather like this and not think about the holidays and Christmas in particular. And you know, it's funny, the Christmas I'm thinking about, I was in Houston, a long way from anything cold or snowy. In fact, it was very warm that particular Christmas season. Now, we're going to back up a little bit to just after Thanksgiving, 1997. Back then, I was not pulling flatbed. In fact, I was pulling tanker and roll-off for a company that does not exist anymore. It was swallowed up by a big one. But I tell you, I was not making much money. Oh, no, I wasn't making much money at all, and I had a wife and two kids at the time. My wife had to stay home and take care of the kids because we couldn't afford daycare. So my income was all there was, and it was not much of an income at that. Thanksgiving came and went, and of course, it's traditional to put your Christmas tree up the day after Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving afternoon. This year, though, we didn't have a tree to put up. We had gotten a small turkey, and of course, I cooked it. We had stovetop stuffing, Kraft macaroni and cheese, and green bean casserole made with Great Value everything. But it was a very good Thanksgiving dinner. Afterwards, though, of course, my oldest child, he knew that his friends' families were going to be putting their Christmas trees up, and he wanted us to put ours up. I don't remember what excuse I made for not having a tree, but I made sure that we got one just as quickly as we could. And my wife did have some decorations, not as many as we have now, of course, but when I was able to get a tree, and I don't remember exactly, this is a long time ago, of course, but I do remember that it was within 5 days of Thanksgiving having ended. My wife got the tree decorated, and our oldest boy, who was about 4 and a half, I remember he had a lot of fun decorating that tree with his mama. His little brother was just barely over a year old and getting into everything, of course, toddling around. But they did have fun putting up the tree. I will tell you, though, I didn't have a whole lot of fun because I knew that I had to find some way to put presents under that tree. The money I was making, it was enough to pay our rent and utilities and put food on the table. Of course, having a child that's just slightly more than a year old, when I say slightly more than a year old, by the time Christmas came around that year in 1997, he was 16 months old. Anyway, we didn't have any extra. And as all of you who are parents know, buying presents is very expensive. Now, the company I worked for was very, very small. And our customer base, of course, that too was very small. So I asked for extra work, but there just wasn't any to be had. Now, let's fast forward to Wednesday, December 24th, 1997. It was on that day that I got my Christmas bonus. Yes. The boss waited literally until Christmas Eve to hand out the Christmas bonuses. Knowing that all of us, everyone who worked there, really needed their Christmas bonus at least a week earlier. But that's what he chose to do, and it was his money. So, I mean, that's all there was. My Christmas bonus that year was a whopping $500. Now, in today's economy, that's not a very substantial Christmas bonus, but in 1997, that was pretty good. In fact, and I will admit, I used Google to make sure I was right about this, $500 today, go back 25 years to 1997, that would have been almost $950 in today's money. So like I say, a $500 bonus was pretty substantial. Now that Wednesday, Christmas Eve, I had to work. I had to take a tanker load from Pasadena, Texas up to Midlothian, Texas. And admittedly, I was pulling hazmat, and the stuff I was hauling was pretty dangerous stuff. But my wife had to go Christmas shopping. So, being very ingenuitive, I made it possible to take the two kids with me on the truck. Now, I was driving a 1994 Peterbilt 378. A lot of guys don't know that Peterbilt made a 378. It was just like the 379, except for the hood was a little bit shorter. I'll never forget that truck. It was a dark blue, beautiful, beautiful truck. It had a 72-inch flat-top walk-in sleeper. Now, the guy who had driven that truck before I went to work there had bought a small 12-volt, you know, plugged into a cigarette lighter, TV that had a built-in VCR, took the old cassette tape. So that morning, I gathered up several of my older son's Disney movies. I remember The Lion King was one of them. I also brought the baby gate. Now, I hope I don't have to explain what a baby gate is. But I didn't want my younger son to be able to crawl up and get up under the air ride seat or, you know, get up under my feet while I was driving. So I brought the baby gate to put across the walk-in into the sleeper. Now, there was a door on the side of the sleeper that could potentially go in and out of. So I took the inside door panel off, and I disabled the door latch so it couldn't be opened from the inside. I also had a 5-gallon bucket and a bunch of trash bags because, well, you know how little boys are. Sometimes, a lot of times, they decide, Daddy, I gotta poop. Now, the younger one, he was still in diapers, so 5-gallon bucket didn't apply to him. But anyway, loaded the kids up, baby gate, diaper bag, movies, had a few snacks. Mama made some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches because, well, what kid doesn't love peanut butter and jelly? I know that oldest boy of mine sure did. And off we go to Midlothian, Texas. Now, if you're wondering why I had to take the kids with me, quite simple. Mama couldn't go Christmas shopping with the kids right there with her. Now, the place I went to in Midlothian, and I'd been there a lot of times, they knew me, they knew the truck, and they knew that I never, never had a passenger with me. So they would have no reason to look in that sleeper. It was risky, but it was a risk I had to take. Just before we arrived at the receiver, I pulled over, put the Lion King in, gave the little one his bottle, and of course, I knew he would go to sleep immediately after getting that. And I told my older son just how quiet he was going to have to be. Now, if you've ever had a 4.5-year-old, you know their attention span's not all that long. But I have to give him credit. He was quiet as a church mouse the entire time we were there. I finally got done getting offloaded, and we got out of that facility and headed back down toward Houston, which I was living, or we were living, just south of Houston in the small town of Alvin then. I got back to the yard there in Pasadena, Texas, and dropped the trailer, and I always took the truck home. But I went into the office, well, actually into the shop. The office was locked up. And I called the house, and my wife was back by then. Now, it had gotten to be, I don't remember exactly what time, but probably 7 o'clock in the evening by the time we got back to the yard. And she was back, wrapping presents. I dropped the trailer there, and I bobtailed on home. And by the time I got to the house, both of the boys were sound asleep. The Lion King had ended, and oh my God, I was so glad The Lion King had ended, because there are just so many times you can hear the song Hakuna Matata before you just want to rip your ears off. Well, I set the brakes there at the house, and I carried the littlest one into the house and came back out. The older boy, he was waking up. He came on in. He wanted to know if it was Christmas yet. And then he looked and he said, Daddy, we don't have no Christmas presents. To which I said, I know, son. Because Santa Claus hasn't come yet. You've got to go get in your bed. You got to close your eyes and go to sleep. He said, but I'm not sleepy now, Daddy. I said, well, you have to close your eyes and go to sleep. Because Santa Claus can't come if little boys are awake. He said, where's Mama? Well, Mama was in the bedroom with the door shut, wrapping presents. Of course, and I know you shouldn't lie to your kids, but I said, I think Mama might be over at Gigi's, but she'll be back before Santa Claus comes. Well, he runs off to his room, and he and his little brother, they shared a room. He got off into the bed. The little one, now that boy could sleep. He was always a very good sleeper. But it did take the older one a little while to get wound down and get on down to sleep. Now, I didn't go into the bedroom until I knew that they were both in there sound asleep, because I didn't want either of them to come out of that room and find out the truth about Santa Claus. So finally, I go into the bedroom, and I have never been good at wrapping presents. I can tarp a load like nobody's business. I can wrap that thing up. Oh, it looks so pretty. But whenever it comes to wrapping paper, nope, just does not work for me. My wife, however, just about had everything done by the time I got in there. And boys, I tell you what, it is really surprising what she was able to do with $500. She not only bought both the boys really good presents, and a lot of them, but she also went to the Kroger's supermarket and was able to buy everything we needed so that I could cook not only Christmas dinner, but I could cook a really nice Christmas breakfast to have after we got done opening presents. We got everything arranged really pretty under the tree, and then it's time that we can both relax. Now, I'd like to tell you that we cuddled up on the couch, had a fire in the fireplace, sipping hot chocolate, but we didn't have a fireplace, and I don't think we had any hot chocolate. What we did have was a profound love for one another, and we had an amazing appreciation for each other. That Christmas really stands out in my mind because of the worry that led up to it, the fear that I would not be able to give my children a Christmas that year, the turmoil that I went through personally as a man, as a husband and a father. But I truly think the biggest reason that particular Christmas stands out so vividly in my mind is because it was that Christmas Eve night when we were cuddled up on the couch together, no television going, no fire in a fireplace, no hot chocolate, just me and her. And she looked at me, and it was the first time in our married life that she said, I appreciate how hard you work. Thank you, and I love you. I can't tell you how much that meant to me, hearing those words. Just a few hours later, it was Christmas morning, and the little one, of course, he's toddling as fast as he can, and the older son, he just makes a beeline straight for toys. There's nothing, for me at least, that can possibly make me feel better than to see my children happy. And my children were very happy that Christmas morning. My wife worked a miracle by being able to do all she did on Christmas Eve with the crowds and the stores being sold out of so many things. But she got everything bought, she got everything wrapped, she got everything perfect, and she even got me a new wallet that year. Although I really didn't have anything to put in it, she still got it for me. And she got nothing, because I had nothing to give her. So fellas, love your wives, understand what they go through, and appreciate them. And if you can't give them something, give them your heart. Because honestly, That's what a woman wants the most. Hey, I love all of you. I truly do. And I hope everyone has a safe and happy, just joyous holiday season this year. Whether you're celebrating Christmas or Hanukkah, love your families and happy holidays.